Hi, and welcome to Seeking the Gospel Truth. I'm Giselle Aguiar. We've been going through the Old Testament, seeing how Jesus and his gospel factors into every story. If you've missed any of them, search through the podcast or blog for the studies on the books of Genesis through Ruth. As we continue God's story, which is really our story, I am changing how we go through the bulk of the rest of the Old Testament. If you read the Bible from cover to cover, the historical books get a bit confusing as the timeline isn't straight. My goal is to do them in historical sequence. So we'll bounce around the Old Testament, but the stories will make better sense. Jesus is the hero of the entire Bible, and we'll find him everywhere as we go along. You'll also see how the Old Testament sets us up for the New Testament. And I've covered most of the New Testament, and you can find those studies along with podcast playlists on my blog. I pray that as you hear this message, it will inspire you to study the Bible daily for yourself. Seek the truth. I pray that God opens your heart and eyes and mind to understand what His Spirit is trying to tell you. And as you become rooted in the Word, you'll also be rooted in hope, joy, and peace. Let's dig in. Second Samuel 3, hope arises. Is united Israel in sight? As our story goes along, David is now king of just one of Israel's tribes, Judah. And the other 11 are ruled by Saul's son, Ish-bosheth, who, having been declared king by Saul's general Abner, was questionable with regard to his ability to rule. Now, Abner discovers how demented Ish-bosheth is, much like his father Saul, and becomes a turncoat. Is there hope for David? To rule over a united Israel? Well, let's dig in. In 2 Samuel 3, we're circa 1006 to 1005 BC. Okay. That was the beginning of a long war between those who were loyal to Saul and those loyal to David. As time passed, David became stronger and stronger, while Saul's dynasty became weaker and weaker. David's sons are born in Hebron. So these are the sons who were born to David in Hebron. The oldest was Amnon, whose mother was Ahinoam from Jezreel. The second was Daniel, whose mother was Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel. No, it's not Daniel who has a book further down in the Bible. That's a different Daniel, earlier, way earlier. The third was Absalom, whose mother was Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth was Adonijah, whose mother was Haggith. The fifth was Shephatiah, whose mother was Abital. And the sixth was Ithream, whose mother was Eglah, David's wife. These sons were all born to David in Hebron. Abner joins forces with David. As the war between the house of Saul and the house of David went on, Abner became a powerful leader among those loyal to Saul. One day, Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, accused Abner of sleeping with one of his father's concubines, a woman named Rizpah, daughter of Aiah. Abner was furious. Am I some Judean dog to be kicked around like this? He shouted. After all I have done for your father Saul and his family and friends by not handing you over to David, is this my reward? That you find fault with me about this woman? May God strike me and even kill me if I don't do everything I can to help David get what the Lord has promised him. I'm going to take Saul's kingdom and give it to David. I will establish the throne of David over Israel as well as Judah, all the way from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south. Ish-bosheth didn't dare say another word because he was afraid of what Abner might do. And Abner sent messengers to David, saying, "Doesn't the entire land belong to you? Make a solemn pact with me, and I will help turn over all of Israel to you." "All right," David replied, "but I will not negotiate with you unless you bring back my wife, Michal, Saul's daughter, when you come." David then sent this message to Ishbosheth, Saul's son: "Give me back my wife, Michal, for I bought her with the lives of 100 Philistines." Actually, it was 200. So Ishbosheth took Michal away from her husband, Paltai, son of Laish. Paltai followed along behind her as far as Bahurim, weeping as he went. Then Abner told him, "Go back home." So Paltai returned. Meanwhile, Abner had consulted with the elders of Israel. "For some time now," he told them, "you have wanted to make David your king. Now is the time, for the Lord has said, 'I have chosen David to save my people Israel from the hands of the Philistines and from all their other enemies.'" Abner also spoke with the men of Benjamin. Then he went to Hebron to tell David that all the people of Israel and Benjamin had agreed to support him. When Abner and 20 of his men came to Hebron, David entertained them with a great feast. Then Abner said to David, "Let me go and call an assembly of all Israel to support my lord the king. They will make a covenant with you to make you their king, and you will rule over everything your heart desires." So David sent Abner safely on his way. Enter Joab. But just after David had sent Abner away in safety, Joab and some of David's troops returned from a raid, bringing much plunder with them. When Joab arrived, he was told that Abner had just been there visiting the king and had been sent away in safety. Joab rushed to the king and demanded, "What have you done? What do you mean by letting Abner get away? You know perfectly well that he came to spy on you and find out everything you're doing." Joab then left David and sent messengers to catch up with Abner, asking him to return. They found him at the well of Sirah and brought him back, though David knew nothing about it. When Abner arrived back at Hebron, Joab took him aside at the gateway as if to speak with him privately. But then he stabbed Abner in the stomach and killed him in revenge for killing his brother Asahel. When David heard about it, he declared, "I vow by the Lord that I and my kingdom are forever innocent of this crime against Abner, son of Ner. Joab and his family are the guilty ones. May the family of Joab be cursed in every generation with a man who has open sores or leprosy, or who walks on crutches or dies by the sword or begs for food." So Joab and his brother Abishai killed Abner because Abner had killed their brother Asahel at the Battle of Gibeon. David mourns Abner's death. Then David said to Joab and all those who were with them, "Tear your clothes and put on burlap. Mourn for Abner." And King David himself walked behind the procession to the grave. They buried Abner in Hebron. And the king and all the people wept at his grave. Then the king sang this funeral song for Abner: "Should Abner have died as fools die? Your hands were not bound, your feet were not chained. No, you were murdered, the victim of a wicked plot." All the people wept again for Abner. David had refused to eat anything on the day of the funeral, and now everyone begged him to eat. But David had made a vow saying, "May God strike me and even kill me if I eat anything before sundown." This pleased the people very much. In fact, everything the king did pleased them. So everyone in Judah and all Israel understood that David was not responsible for Abner's murder. Then King David said to his officials, "Don't you realize that a great commander has fallen today in Israel? And even though I am the anointed king, these two sons of Zeruiah, Joab and Abishai, are too strong for me to control. So may the Lord repay these evil men for their deeds." Oh, war is not pretty. Okay, points to ponder. This passage opens with the names of David's six sons. Nevertheless, we still don't have the lineage of Jesus. That person is still to come. We don't really know if Abner was guilty of sleeping with the concubine or not. Well, guilty or not, Abner defects to King David. David tells Abner's messenger that he wants his wife, Michal, back. David is kind to him when he comes and sends him away in safety. David's probably thinking that this is the start of a united Israel, finally. Unfortunately, in comes Joab, who is still full of bitterness and anger towards Abner, who killed his brother Asahel. He gets revenge when he should have waited for God to deliver his divine justice. If you hold bitterness, anger, rage, or a grudge, it can eat you up from the inside out. God can take it away if you humble yourself and forgive as you have been forgiven. Foreshadowing King Jesus. Ruling over a united Israel was promised to David, yet it would not happen right away. We too are waiting for King Jesus to rule over all the nations. He will have a true united kingdom where all nations will worship him. We find this in Revelation 15, starting in verse 1. Then I saw in heaven another marvelous event of great significance. Seven angels were holding the seven last plagues, which would bring God's wrath to completion. I saw before me what seemed to be a glass sea mixed with fire. And on it stood all the people who had been victorious over the beast and his statue and the number representing his name. They were all holding harps that God had given them, and they were singing the song of Moses, a servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear the Lord? Who will not fear you, Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous deeds have been revealed. Thy kingdom come. I have a bunch of Bible studies and articles on God's kingdom. Like, are you part of the Lord's chosen people for the new kingdom come? Like it was in Noah's day, when will the kingdom of God be here? How sin and evil have infiltrated the kingdom of God, the church. The kingdom of God is more than just talk. It's alive in God's power. Can you live in the world and in the kingdom of God at the same time? That's a good question. Suffering hardship, even in the kingdom of God. And what do you absolutely have to do to enter the kingdom of God? You can click on over to my blog, the link's in the show notes. And check out these other articles, for we are citizens of heaven. Are you a citizen of heaven? If you're not sure if you're saved or not, if you truly want to be born again and have the assurance of salvation, receive the Holy Spirit in your heart and get a one-way nonstop ticket to heaven and that you won't be left behind at the rapture, what you have to do is invite Jesus into your heart and receive the gift and confident hope of eternal life. If you don't know what to say, don't know what to do, there's a prayer in the show notes, or you can click on over to my blog and click where it says, how to invite Jesus into your life. And at the bottom of today's blog, I've embedded a worship video, He Reigns, by the Newsboys. Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I pray that the Holy Spirit, the author of Scripture, touched your heart to reveal the gospel truth that our hope of salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to reach out to me via my website or social media. I encourage you to read the Bible daily and seek the truth for yourself. I recommend that you download two free Bible study apps, the YouVersion Bible app and Through the Word. Friends, we are living in strange, crazy times, the last days, the end times. But know that things aren't falling apart, they are falling into place. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20-22, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Jesus is knocking. It's up to you to open the door. Peter told us in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed or perish, but wants everyone to repent. Jesus is coming back soon. Are you ready? Repent of your sins and invite Jesus into your heart right now. If you don't know what to say, there's a prayer in the show notes and on my blog. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory.